There are some concerns in this whole process that I would just put out there as words of caution. In people taking bevacizumab, the half-life is very long. I've mentioned already that there's enhanced toxicity for combining bevacizumab and sorafenib and potentially sunitinib. And it takes 3 weeks or so for a half-life of bevacizumab. So if you're switching from bevacizumab to sorafenib or sunitinib, you've got to wait a long time before you add the standard dose of those other drugs, because otherwise you run the risk of creating additive toxicity from a combination that you hadn't anticipated you were actually giving a combination.
Interesting. How long do you have to wait?
I would say you need to wait a month after bevacizumab. The other thing, which I think is also very important to point out, there is no data that supports either the activity or the safety of high-dose interleukin-2 following sorafenib or sunitinib. And there's potential reason to think that the disease may be growing faster, may have selected for resistance TOR-driven pathway after treatment, and they may be less likely to respond to immunotherapy than they would have been if you had treated them up front. And there's also anecdotal data, but something that we're concerned about, that if you start interleukin-2 too soon after these other agents, that some of the effects on the heart and stuff may make it harder for the patient to be able to tolerate interleukin-2 therapy. So in my view, when you're seeing a patient with renal cancer, the decision about what you give first is the most important decision you make. And I still feel that, at least based on all the data we know, that the high-dose interleukin-2 is the only drug with curative potential. And if you're the right patient and can get that agent, you increase the chances for long-term benefit for your patient if you start with interleukin-2 and go to the VEGF receptor blockade in patients who either aren't candidates for interleukin-2 or whose disease has progressed after that.